Once again, Merry Christmas to everyone who's here, especially thinking of people who are traveling. Think of people all who maybe are going through any sorrows in your life right now. Hopefully today can be a day of peace, of rest, of refreshment. Thinking of my own family, although I don't get to do Christmas morning with them anymore, we used to always go to the night mass, and then we'd spend from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. opening presents, and my uncle would wrap. He'd go around the house and wrap all this junk as a joke. And a couple years ago, he even went as far as he stopped by, there was a box in front of someone's house that just said free, and he wrapped literally trash and all this stuff. And so we just spend all day just kind of opening and laughing, and you know, it wasn't really about what you got. And if you got the worst thing, it was kind of a joke. And so I hope today can be, even if you're alone, I hope today, and you don't have anyone to appreciate with, I hope you can at least rest with the Lord and maybe be glad that even that there are people who aren't alone, you know, and to rejoice in that. Thinking of for those of you who don't know me, if you're visiting, Father Andrew Infanger, the associate pastor here at the parish. Thinking of our readings, and summarizing them up with two words, the word, word, and light. Words, word, and light. Sort of the common thread through all of our readings. And as we begin to reflect on these readings, today's a different day than most. It's a day a little bit more like Easter and some other days like that where there's no overarching moral lesson. There's no overarching moral lesson. And what I mean by that is oftentimes the Gospels and the readings will have something like love your neighbor as yourself, right? Or do good to those who persecute you, you know, to thou shalt not commit adultery, you know, don't, you know, get lost in drunkenness or whatever. I mean, you know, the commandments, right? And all of the extrapolations from them. But today is not one of those days. Today is before all of that. The foundation of all of that, that Christ is word and light. And if we don't get that, then everything that'll come after that, and don't worry, there'll be plenty of homilies and gospels telling you to do right, avoid evil, and all of that, but it won't sink in. It will be like, I think of two analogies, I love analogies. It would be like, and I've experienced this in my own family, and maybe you have as well in different family relationships, maybe marriages and you know, child-parent relationships especially, you want to just spend time with a loved one. You know, just quietly, maybe going for a walk, sitting in front of a fire. And you share a problem with someone. You know, hey, mom, hey, dad, I'm struggling with this. Or hey, husband, hey, wife, I'm facing this at work with my parents and all this stuff. And instead of just listening and resting with that word, their loved one immediately comes back with advice. Have you ever experienced that? And you're just all of a sudden filled with bitterness. Like, hey, I'm not telling you because I want advice here. I'm telling you just because I want someone to know me. I want someone to experience me. And it fills us with a sense of almost resentment, bitterness, all of that, right? If we put the moral teaching ahead of the truth of who Jesus is, and they're not separated, but if we flip them upside down, and we say Jesus is just a moral teacher, just telling us to do right, be good, don't be bad, and we don't essentially start off with he is the eternal word, and he is the light of the world, then the moral teachings, which are necessary and valid in all ages, will become bitter. Another example, another analogy could be parents who, and this is every parent, I suppose, because we're all imperfect, who would rather teach their kids how to behave, how to act, how to live by what they say first and not first by what they do. So you imagine, you know, your kids are acting up and just, you know, stop doing that. You know, you punch their leg or you slap them or you spank them or something, just yelling at them, cut it out, what are you doing? You've never showed love to your spouse, though. You've never embraced them. And you don't lead with that. Yeah, sometimes, I'm not saying you should hit your children or anything, but there are times for discipline, to be sure. But if you discipline first, and you don't first lead with the embrace of love, if you don't first show forth love in a way that's visible and seeable, knowable, and all it is moral lessons, then love for that child becomes a bitter thing. Family becomes a bitter thing, and they'll spend the rest of their adult life trying to figure out what it means to love and who their parents were, because they will never have really known them. They'll just known a rule giver, a taskmaster. Today, we don't just have a rule giver, a law giver, and a taskmaster. And in fact, we hear something very specific about that from our gospel, where the gospel writer, St. John, says about Jesus that, well, through John the Baptist, says that in Jesus we have received grace in place of grace. Because while the law was given through Moses, which is good and important and still valid, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Before law, before rule, you must know love. And this love comes to us in two forms, especially highlighted in our gospel. This is of word and light. These are very confusing things, and I don't necessarily have my own mind wrapped around it all. But this idea of first a word, say word, that Jesus is the Word of God, it's one of his titles. To see the creative power of word, the ordering power of word. We say Jesus is part of the creation of the world. And so just to show you the creative power of word, let's see if this will work here. I want everyone in this section to raise your right arm. Go ahead, you can do it. All right, everyone's doing it? Okay, you put it down. So that was my word that did that. That was it. My word, this is an analogy, right? Comes forth from me. Let's pretend I'm not God the Father, but for the sake of this analogy today, I'll be that. Comes forth out of me and it encounters you and creates a new thing within you, a new way of being. Right now, just raising your arm. But it speaks to what Jesus does for us. We say that God the Father in himself is unknowable, unseeable, untouchable. And yet in Jesus Christ, in his word, and as the word, comes out from God, and we can actually encounter the love of God. And first and foremost, we might say in the sacred scriptures. But also by that inspiration we receive of having a sense of the knowledge of God. And word inspires us, doesn't it? I was just driving here on the way, and I've had the radio on, and there was a song, and I don't remember what it was called. It was in Italian on the Catholic radio channel by Andrea Bocelli, and I don't know what it was saying. I have no idea, but it was just so beautiful that it made me feel like very weepy, you know? And I'm like, why is this making me feel weepy? I don't even know what it's saying, you know? But something about that sound that was coming out of this man's mouth highlighted something within me. And that's what the Word of God does for us. Comes forth from the Lord, the Eternal Father, and enters into our heart and highlights something that we know to be true but we can't name. And I was thinking, why do I weep? And I didn't really weep, but I felt weepy, I suppose. But why do we do that at beauty, you know, in song and music? And I was thinking, maybe it's because it highlights within us how small we are, and yet how connected we are with things eternal. I don't know, that was my thought. City of the Word. Jesus says in our gospel, is the Word. The Word creates, that's my analogy of raising your arm, right? And the Word humbles. When we hear a beautiful word, a beautiful song, it humbles us and we become awe-filled before eternity. And so in the person of Jesus Christ, we are created literally and created anew and humbled. Then this idea of light. This one's a little more fascinating. This idea of light. We hear in the second reading from the letter to the Hebrews that Jesus is the refulgence of the glory of God. And when's the last time you used that word in a sentence? Last time, I think I used it was last Christmas when I read this word in the reading here. The refulgence of the glory of God. And what is that refulgence? It's in Thomas Aquinas in the Middle Ages talked about the three qualities of beauty. And you could say there's more, but he talked about three. He said it was symmetry. And he said it was harmony. And he said claritas, or we would say resplendence, refulgence, an inner light. Think of, perhaps like a flame. And the difference between a flame and a picture of a flame is that it actually sheds a light that's within it. It's different. And we think of beauty, and beauty draws all of us. I was recently at my cousin's wedding in Colorado, and there was something about the combination of beauty, you know, of refulgence and word when they come together into one place, and it blows your mind. And this happens for me whenever a bride comes in the door. And my cousin had picked all of this beautiful music. She had a fantastic organ player in this church. And so my cousin comes out, and she didn't have, a skimpy wedding gown, you know. She had an elegant, shawl. I mean, it was in the winter. It was just sort of simple and elegant and beautiful. And here she is. She comes out with my uncle, and then the organ is playing, and it's like all of heaven and earth sort of crash together in my cousin. And the look on her face was refulgent. It was radiant. It looked like that her soul was about to spill out of her face. And she could barely contain her soul, you know? And if she opened her eyes too wide, her soul would just fall out. I mean, it was just like, she was refulgent. She was beautiful. But not in that, facile way, that sort of silly way. Not in a flashy way. Not in a way even that would go well in a magazine, you know? Because you couldn't capture that. That, I'd like to argue, is a taste. When the gospel writer says, and this is, you can reflect on this gospel for years and years, and you ought to. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That part of Jesus himself is the eternal beauty of splendor of God that we could never know that becomes knowable. And we all believe that beauty can be knowable. And we all, when we encounter beauty, want more of it. It draws something incredible out of us. And not only is he the Word, so he creates and humbles, but it also says that what came to be through him was life, and this life was the light of the human race. And so we have Word and refulgence. I just think of this idea of a bride walking out with her father. This true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. And so, by analogy, think of the most beautiful thing you've ever encountered. And when you see that, view that as a mere reflection of Jesus Christ. And until we can see in that most beautiful thing we could ever see as a reflection of Christ, and replace that with Jesus as simply a moral lawgiver, which he is, don't get rid of that. But until we can see at his root, that Jesus as the light and the Word, the beauty of God, until we can see that, the gospel will always be for us bitter, missing, guilt-ridden, like a walk with your wife and all you do is criticize her, or like a conversation with your father and all he does is brings up your failings. Whatever it may be, until we can humble ourselves and see, particularly on this Christmas day, in the person of the infant child, something of a wholly different level than perhaps our own conceptions of God that we've had from the times that we were young, as the beauty and the Word of God, then Jesus will never be life-giving for us. So, my prayer for you is that on this Christmas day, and obviously Jesus is born in the past, but that beauty of the Word made flesh, the Word made visible, is renewed every moment of our life that we choose to allow it. So my prayer is that you might do that, because, hopefully it will help your life. Hopefully, you will help change things, make you happier, all of that. That's secondary. Hopefully, primarily, that you might know the beauty of God. That's my prayer for each of you on this Christmas morning.